Hello and welcome once again from Mark BB and Jeff Buckles. This is Mike Moody, and we're in our study this week in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And before we begin, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the listeners today. We thank you for those that are fellow believers and heirs in Christ. We pray for them and pray for those that are sick, those that have spiritual needs. We just lift up each one and pray that your will would be done. We pray for those that are lost, that are riding through the county, those that are at work, those that are in nursing homes, wherever they may be that may listen today and may not be saved. We pray that you would work by your Spirit upon them and draw them unto yourself. Convict them, we pray, of their need of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2, we find ourselves in verse 4. Yesterday we looked with a little review from a previous week of studies of how Paul exhorted Timothy here in areas of prayer, and this should be made for all men, for those in authority, who might lead a quiet and peaceable life, and goes on to say that this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. But verse 4 tells us that our God desires that all men are to be saved. He doesn't say they all will be saved, but he wills or he desires for them to be saved. And we noted that, yes, God is sovereign and knows all things, and he's all-powerful, yet he does tell man that we are responsible to repent. And having said that, we closed our study yesterday by mentioning the end of verse 4 that says, that they should come unto the knowledge of the truth. That is part of this desire here spoken of in verse 4, that yes, they're to be saved. All men are to be saved is God's desire. But it goes on to say that they should come unto the knowledge. Understand the word knowledge there is the word for full knowledge. That they should come unto the full knowledge of the truth. Now, when we speak of truth, this word truth has such a tremendous emphasis. We see in our study in the pastoral epistles, as we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, think about this verse. We'd like to spend some time on it in the future when we get to it. But when it says to study, that word in the original means be diligent, to be steadfast. To show means to present yourself. One day we'll have to present ourselves before the Lord, and he will say, we pray, will say to you and to I, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." It's one thing to read the Bible, for we know what it says by reading it, but we must study the Word to know what it means. To rightly divide it, we must study it. And it says, a workman that needeth not to be approved, to be ashamed, rather, but that we should be approved unto God. But friend, at the coming of our Lord, we that are saved will be in his presence for eternity. But will we be ashamed at the lost time that we could have spent in serving him, studying to know him better, to know what is his way and his truth? You know, we can but go on what we've heard all our lives, but never know it for ourselves. This is dangerous. For when we say we believe something, but we're not able to open the word and point it out ourselves, then it's not rooted and grounded in our own hearts. It's good to hear teachers. It's good to hear expositors of the Word. It's good to listen to radio and Bible tapes of fundamental teachers and preachers of the Word. But we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. This is not just to those that preach the Word, my friend. Every one of us that are saved will give account one day. We will give an account to him. the scripture makes it abundantly clear, we could turn to 1 Peter and look to chapter 4. What a passage here where it goes on to speak of Christ and his suffering. And then it comes down to verse 4, speaking of how ones will think it strange that we run not with them to the same excess of rioting. They'll be speaking evil of you, it says. But in verse 5 of chapter 4, in 1 Peter, it says, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead, the quick and the dead? My friend, we that are saved will still have to give account to him. Oh, not for our fact that we were born sinners. That was taken care of at the cross, we that are saved. But we that know him will go before the Bema Seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and will give account for our life as believers. He's ready to judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead. You could take that two ways. Those that are alive today are alive at his coming, and those that have died physically and gone on into eternity. He's ready to judge the living and the dead. Or you could also say the living being those that are saved, spiritually alive, and those that are dead. Take that as those that are spiritually dead. He will be the judge of those that are sent to the lake of fire, yet he will also judge us that are saved. We must give account to him. So when it says to study thyself, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, in John 17, it tells us Christ speaking to his Father before he went to the cross. He says, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. And you know, what a tremendous example there in John 17. It's been noted that when you go through the book of John, the book of John leads up to chapter 17. It's like the high priest of the Old Testament. When he gets to chapter 17, it's like he enters in into the very presence of God. The holiest of holies. Here's the Savior communing with his Father, the one of whom he was with from eternity past. Here, he comes in, and he has this tremendous communion with his Father, and he says, thy word is truth. He says before that, sanctify them, speaking of the children of God, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In the book of Proverbs, the scripture says, buy the truth and sell it not. Oh, my friend, the truth is based on the person and the work of Christ. And the only way we can rightly divide it, first, we must know him. We must be saved. We must have the Spirit of God in us that we can understand the Scriptures. Scripture tells us that without the Spirit of God, we cannot understand the Word and rightly divide it. But when you're saved, then you have the responsibility to speak the truth in love. That's a balance. Our Savior himself was full of grace and truth. That means he knew when to say what and how to say it. And his behavior was perfect, as in Leviticus 3, speaking of the meal offering, how it pictured our Savior in his perfect evenness. That meal was spread and sifted in a perfect, even way. Think of flour that is sifted in a perfect balance. That showed the perfection of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our example, we that know Christ, to be perfect and balanced. We should know when to speak the truth and how to speak the truth. To speak the truth in love. If we're too far on truth, that is, with the absence of love, we will find it difficult to be getting the point across in the way the Word tells us. Yet then, if we are only emphasizing love and absent on truth, then we have an absence of the foundation of the Word. So we must hold to the truth, yet speak it in love. Christ, the perfect example, he was full of grace and truth. So when we think of truth, that word is thrown around sometimes haphazardly. Truth is based on the person and work of Christ. Turn, if you will, with me to John chapter 18, and we'd like to look at truth when our Savior was before this one Pilate. Verse 33, it says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? And he goes on to say down, verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, What is truth? My friend, will you be as Pilate and question the truth? Surely we must acknowledge that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. But when we come back to 1 Timothy chapter 2, we see there that it's God's desire that all men are to be saved and come unto the full knowledge of the truth. The person and work of Christ is the basis of truth. Scripture tells us in Colossians that in all things that he might have the preeminence. Speaking of Christ, not a man, not some preacher or teacher or some pastor or whoever, but that Christ might have the preeminence. You know, he is the preeminent one, yet we must yield in the practical sense and allow him to be preeminent as well. So to come under the knowledge of the truth of salvation in Christ alone, the truth of the person of Christ, his deity, him being God manifest in the flesh, the truth of his work, the truth of his person. It goes on, the truth of the church. As we've mentioned, church truth, and how our key passage in 1 Timothy is 3:15, where it says, how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. My friend, the local assembly of believers should gather in the scriptural manner, because you're meeting, we pray in the name of Christ, in his name alone, not in the name of some other man or group, but are you meeting in the name of Christ? Because he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So when he says that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, are we holding to Christ as the head, Christ as the preeminent, Christ as the way, the truth, and the life? That is our prayer today, with the two roads and two destinies, radio ministry.